Father, I thank you, Lord. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. As we look into the perfect law of liberty this morning, give encouragement to every one of us to the glory and praise of your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share hopefully not too long, an exhortation with us today on the subject of spiritual resilience, roadblock or hurdle. I've touched on this before, but from time to time, I want to go back and come back again and give encouragement because people are always going through stuff, you know, and as long as we are in this body, we're always going to go through stuff. That's just the way it is, you know, so we always have to bring encouragement from time to time. There's a story I want to share with us first as we get started here in the book of Mark. Chapter 2, let's take a look at this story and maybe a few other things to share from the scriptures, you know, but I think you will enjoy this story. So in this particular story, you know, starting from, Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses or so, you know, we're going to just see, you know, what this story is all about. And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him. Some folks came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, in other words, paralyzed, which was borne by four people. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, saying, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, if they only knew who he was. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which of us is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Now, that's a question. Which one is easier? Well, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he turned around and said to the man that was sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine own house. And immediately, and I love that word, you know, in many stories in the Bible, I always love that word. Immediately he arose and he took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Interesting story. Good story to just read through it. You know, but let's unpack some of the things here. The thing that relates most closely to today's lesson is the action that they took here. They couldn't get through the door. His friends brought him down through the roof. And the Bible says that Jesus, when he saw their faith, might have been combined faith of all of the five of them, or it could have just been the four of them. You know, and sometimes, you know, faith will need to take matters into its hands. That's right. These four friends took the matters into their hands. They're going to get their friend, you know, to Jesus one way or another. But there are too many people and they won't let them through the door. So they had to find a way to go through the roof. break up the roof, let the man down. You know, and my goodness, when Jesus saw all that they went through just to get the man in front of him, well, he's going to do something about it. And so, you know, I call this some kind of vicarious faith. You know, these his friends were believing for him. We can get you in front of the Lord. He'll do something. But more importantly, we see here that they would not be denied because they could not get through the door. You know, so when the door is blocked, you go through the roof. You hear that people say, well, when God closes a door, you go through a window. Well, these guys, the door is blocked, but they're going through the roof. You know, get to Jesus, they will. One way or another. I'm going to go through the door if the door is open. The door is not open. I'm going to find another way. But I'm getting to where I'm going. Now, these people were determined, you know, and they were not going to let a door that could not be accessed stop them from where they were going to. Now, you know, I've mentioned this before that, you know, there's such a thing that's called a roadblock, you know, and a roadblock. Well, and a barrier and a barricade and all those things, you know, those are usually there to prevent passage and make sure you don't go through. And so they put up roadblock when they're doing roadworks and things like that. And then, you know, usually they'll put up a sign too, sometimes for a detour, you know, but when we come up against a roadblock, and this is the lesson that we want to share today. When you come up against a roadblock, how do you perceive it? Is it a roadblock or a hurdle? You know, a roadblock means we're not going anywhere. It's going to be hemmed in, jammed in, you know, your passage through is being prevented, and that's the purpose of the roadblock. Don't go through here, you know. But are you going to let some roadblock keep you from getting to where you are going? Or are you going to find some other way around it, you know? And I love to talk about this particular topic from time to time to encourage people, you know, if the door is closed, go through the roof. You know, if there's a roadblock, well, the way I actually like to put it out there is, look, you know, find a detour or take a detour. And might already some, you know, the folks, the construction crew might already have pointed out a detour, but whether they point it out or not, are you going to just be discouraged just because there's a roadblock? Or are you going to find another way to get to where you're going? If where you're going is important enough, then you're going to find another way. I mean, how many people would really, just because of a roadblock, when there were, could have been other options around it, would just turn back and go back home or not go to where they're going? I mean, most of the time, people will find another way. You gotta keep going. You know, but sometimes we don't apply these simple principles that we do without thinking sometimes. We don't apply them to even weightier matters of our lives. You know, sometimes we get a little setback. It could also be a major setback, whatever it is. And people get discouraged. But, you know, we go through this stuff all the time. And we don't often get discouraged. I mean, you know, if you're going in a building and you try to go through the elevator and they say, you know, they block the elevator, you're going to take the stairs. I mean, you're not just going to go away. I mean, this is what we do naturally without thinking. We do this stuff all the time. But then, you know, other lives matters, situations that we face, disappointments, discouragements, roadblocks, setbacks, and then suddenly we just give up. We just quit. What happened to, you know, taking the stairs when the elevator is not working? You know, that's right. That's what I want to talk about, you know, today. Take the stairs if the elevator is not working. That's what we do anyway. You know, so if the road is blocked, you'll find another way around it or jump over the roadblock. You know, so, you know, people can see life in different ways. You know, you can see, I mean, you know, there's this event in track and field they call steeplechase, and it's got all kinds of elements to it. Sometimes you run on a flat ground, you know, for a while, and then you got to jump over something, and then you got to wade through water a little bit. You got to do this, you got to do that. And they put obstacles along the way. And there's something called an obstacle course. And then you see how you do with it. And I remember even when I was a kid, we used to do this thing called obstacle race and obstacle course and so on. You know, but there's many things that we learn from these simple things that we go through in life that we don't even think about, you know, that we can apply to real important situations. You know, an obstacle is an obstruction to the path of progress. That's right. You know, it could be there just as a natural happenstance, or it could be a design of the devil to block your progress. Either way, you know, it's an obstacle that's standing in your way from where you are. And like God said to Abraham, from the place where you are, from where you are to where you need to go or get to, you know, the obstacle might be in your way. So what are you going to do about it? That's the question. If there is an obstacle, and you can think, you can come up with anything that's an obstacle. And I'm going to engage people right now. What do you think? What comes to mind when you think of obstacles to progress in life? Help me out. Put some things in the chat room. I mean, things that just block our way sometimes, you know, these things that happen. Well, let's see what people are thinking. You know, I've got some things that I can talk about, but I want to see what you think about it. What do you think about obstacles? What's an obstacle? What's a something that's about out there to impede your progress, you know, in our lives? What are some of these things, you know? And those are the things that we want to consider today. And how might we go about dealing with those situations? I'm going to call out a few common instances here, and I hope others will put out some things in the chat room, you know, and I will stop in a bit and see what people are putting there, you know. But, you know, I want to call out a few things. You know, the remember, we're trying to address, use this to address situations that we face in life. And all of us face these things from time to time. And every day, and before the end of this day, you might even face one. You know, you might have faced one yesterday. Hey, we're always facing these things. How are you going to deal with it? You know, what kind of posture will you have, you know, when these things, you know, occur? And, I mean, you can see the thing that is in front of you as a roadblock or an opportunity, you know, for greater triumph. You can see the setback as a setback or an opportunity for a greater comeback. You can see, you know, the thorns, or you can see the roses. I mean, what do you see when you, you know, when life, you know, happens? People say life happens. Well, whatever happens, you know, there is a mentality that I want to talk about today, and a posture that I want to talk about today. You know, there are some folks that I love to call battle-tested believers, you know, and you can knock them down, you know, they can do all these things, but they're going to get up. Praise the Lord. You know, so here's what Paul said to Timothy, you know, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, that is, if he's an athlete, he is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. So there are rules as well. I call them rules of engagement. You know, growing up in life, I was privileged to, you know, engage in all kinds of sports. You know, my favorite was track and field. And there was all kinds of rules, too, with track and field. Just getting to the finish line first doesn't mean you're going to be the one that's going to get the medal. You know, you might have broken the rules along the way. You know, you might have crossed the lanes. There's some track races where you have to stay in your lanes. And if you're supposed to stay in the lanes, or even some relay races where you got to get pass and receive the baton within a certain, you know, distance. And if you exchange the baton outside that distance or outside that particular space, you may be disqualified even though you get there first. I mean, there's all kinds of rules, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, that's what he's talking about here, that except a man, you know, strive lawfully, he will not be crowned. That's an aside. But those who are striving for masteries, they must be temperate in all things. They cannot, you know, allow me in the train. We put ourselves through training. There's training camp. There's all kinds of things you got to go through to get in shape for the season. Well, we need to build spiritual resilience also in our lives and get in shape. And there's little things that come up against us from time to time. You know, we got to win all these little things and build up spiritual capacity for even greater things. And Jeremiah put it this way. He said, look, in Jeremiah 12 and 5, he said, look, if you run against footmen and you're weary, how in the world are you going to contend against horses? You know, so that means when you go up against the little things, you got to win. You know, get some practice, get yourself in shape for the bigger things. Win everything. Climb every mountain. You know, knock down every roadblock or jump over it, get around it, or do whatever. But don't let it stop you. You know, the psalmist, you know, I love the way, you know, that, you know, David said it in Psalms 18 and verse 29. Look, by my God, he said, look, I leap over walls, I run through troops. You know, I'm not going to let walls or troops or roadblocks or anything, you know, stop me. If it's in front of me, I'm going to find a way around it. If it's impeding my progress, it's either I'm going to jump over it, you know, run through it, bulldoze it, or get around it somehow. I'm not going to let it stop me. Now, this is the attitude that, you know, David had when he was talking about these things. You know, and Paul would say something in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. He said, look, you know, you got to be strong in the Lord and quit ye like men. That doesn't mean give up. It actually means the exact opposite. It means, you know, don't let the devil play ping pong with your life. That's the way I interpret it for myself. Don't give the devil an advantage. You know, because that's exactly, you know, the way that Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 calls it out. He said, look, you know, that we should never give place to the devil. He said, neither give place to the devil. Don't even let the devil get an inch. We've heard the saying that give him an inch, you'll take a mile. Well, he'll take more than a mile. He'll move in into your territory if you give him an inch. So don't even give him an inch. Don't even give the devil the satisfaction. of thinking, he got one over on you. I love some people in the scriptures, their posture, you know, of, look, I'm not going to let anything keep me back, keep me down. If it's in front of me, I'll get around it somehow. You know, when I'm down, I'll get up, whatever it is, you know, until I get there, I'm not going to let anything stop me. You know, let's see how this man, Micah, he put it. And I love to quote this verse in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. He said, look, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You know, so this man is not staying down for the count. He's not going to let it, you know, just a cheap shot keep him down. And I tell you what, the devil knows how to do that cheap shot really well. You know, and what he does is explained to us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He's a prowler. He's always on the prowl. He's going about looking for whom he may devour. But that's interesting also, you know, because this verse tells us that the devil cannot devour everybody. So I've said that, and I often say, he's looking for those who may devour. Well, not me. Move on, you know, mosey on down the road. You're not devouring anything here in my house, you know. So we got to put up the shield of faith. We got to put up spiritual resilience, you know, that's going to send the devil on down the road. But he's always looking for an opening, a crack where he can strike. You know, the devil is coiled up like that viper. He's coiled up like that, you know, and he's just waiting, looking for a moment to strike. And I guarantee you, if he looks long enough, he'll find an opening, you know. And so he's always prowling, looking for an opening, looking for whom he may devour. Well, who are the ones he's going to devour? Well, those that let their guard down, you know, or you give the devil an inch, or you give him a space, you know, you break a hedge, a serpent will come in and bite, you know, and things like that, you know. But whatever is going on, whether I'm up or I'm down, you know, that's the way that Paul actually said it. He said, look, in the book of Philippians, he said, look, I am instructed in all things. I know how to be up. I know how to be down. I know how to be full. I know how to be empty. I mean, no matter what is going on, I am instructed in all things, and in every which way, I know how to thrive. Praise the Lord. And finally, he said, look, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I actually want for us to have, you know, this kind of posture, you know, that we can speak like this. He said, look, I'm not speaking in respect of want. For I have learned, this is for Philippians 4 and verse 11. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know both how to be abased when I'm down. I know how to deal with it. When I'm up, I know how to deal with it. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, suffer need, you know. I mean, resiliency. You know, you're not resilient only when things are good and you're always on top. That doesn't show your resilience necessarily. At times you got to get up from being knocked down. You know, you may be able to give a punch, but can you take a punch too? Yeah, so that's the thing. Can you take a punch? You know, I mean, the ideal thing is that we just go through life and we never get a black eye and everything's all good and rosy. Well, that's great, but that's not going to happen. And that's not how it happens. Many times we're going to get knocked down. You know, stuff happens. And there's going to be discouragements. It's going to be you know, setbacks are going to be what people term as failures. That's right. Notice I say what people term as failures, because I never like to admit that for any failures. You know, if I tried something and it didn't work, rather than see it as a failure, I can see it as I've learned something. That's right. Now you've learned something. You've learned that it doesn't work. You know, try something else. So we never, you know, no matter what, don't stop at the door is closed. Well, go through the roof. The door is closed. Well, find a window. I mean, people say all these things. You know, we talk about these things. We use these slogans. But do we really apply them when it really is needed? When the rubber really meets the road? Is that the kind of posture, you know, that you actually have? I mean, how are you going to get through situations where it looks like there's no way? How do you do it? You know, if you can't even get through little things, how are you going to get through the Red Sea? In fact, Jeremiah 12:5 tells you something like that, similar. He said, look, when everything's smooth and no uprisings and in the land of peace, you know, you're weary, what are you going to do when Jordan over swells its banks? And there's times, you know, in through the season that Jordan swells up. It's kind of like all hell breaks loose. What are you going to do if you don't win the little battles and the little things that make people stressed out every day? You know, how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to cope with that? Well, there are many coping mechanisms, but there's also spiritual coping, spiritual resilience, you know, in the face of whatever, you know. That's the one that I'm talking about today. Building up that your spiritual capacity to deal with whatever. And, you know, not staying down for the count. You know, so Paul, he had a lot of testimonies and he said it in various ways. Well, let's look at, you know, some of the ways that he said it here. He said, look, we are troubled on every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Yet not distressed. Troubled on every side, but not distressed. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of troubles coming. I mean, his life was not a life that was, you know, void of troubles. You know, and, you know, I've often said, what is peace? Well, peace might be defined as the absence of trouble. And that's good. There's some people that had peace. I mean, Solomon, God gave him rest from all wars in his time. You know, David was a man of war, always constantly in one thing or the other, running for his life and so forth. That was not the case with Solomon. God gave him peace, you know. But did the peace actually help him? Maybe not. You know, sometimes, you know, you are in better shape when you are, when you are suited up for battle. I mean, the moment, the one thing that people remember that David did wrong mostly is in the case of Bathsheba and Uriah. And it was a moment when kings went to war and he did not go. He was a man of war. I mean, he was the one that always led them into battle. And, but this one time around, he sat back, relaxed, you know, let me just take it easy. You know, people talk about idle hands and so forth. You know what? You know, if he had been in the front of the battle, he would not have been going up on his rooftop. And the Bible made a point. It was a salient point, but it made it nonetheless to say, at the time that kings went to war, they brought that point out. That was the time that David sat back in his house and got up on the roof and started looking around. You know, so sometimes, you know, peace, because there is no trouble around, doesn't necessarily always, it'll result in, you know, in the best outcomes. I mean, Solomon, all the peace and all the stuff that he had, he ended up, you know, in idolatry and all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, orgies and different things. I mean, it was a wild man, finally, you know. And Asa was a man that for the first 15 years of his reign, he had rest on all sides. you know, but, you know, there's many other things that crept out because of all that rest, you know, and he began to do things and then he began to, you know, act somehow and so on. I mean, there's always things, but this is the thing. Troubled on every side. Peace is not necessarily the absence of trouble, but it's rest, assurance, and quietness in the midst of trouble. That's, you know, in the eye of the storm. Right there, Jesus said in John 14 and 27, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but, you know, right there in the midst of all of this, you know, whether there is trouble or not, you can have peace in Christ. You develop spiritual resilience to ride out the storm. Doesn't mean there will be no storm, but can you ride it out? That's right. Jesus was trying to teach them how to do it. The story in Mark chapter 4 of Let's Go On to the Other Side, which we've talked about many, many times. And the storm arose and Jesus went to sleep. He was just trying to teach them spiritual resilience, you know, in riding out the storm. And as I've often said, you know, deal with the storm. You know, it's not all the storm that God will prevent, but when the storm is there, deal with it and move on. Hallelujah. You know, conquer time, you know, conquer space even. Well, at the end of the age, we got to conquer time and space to go in the rapture. You know, so it's going to look, there are many things that will befall us on this journey. Roadblocks that you will meet. And some people are in school, they are students, and they take an exam and they don't do well. They may quit, you know. And sometimes people quit in their minds before they actually quit physically. There's a letdown in their minds. You know, they're discouraged. I mean, these four guys could have been discouraged when they got to the door and there was no way to get in. But rather than being discouraged, well, they thought within themselves, there's got to be another way. Praise God. And I love that. There's got to be another way. And they found it. And if you look for another way, you'll find it. You know, but you might also be discouraged and just go back. Just go back home. And the devil, he's a master at it to say, well, you see, there is no way going forward. Just go back home. You know, forget about it. You know, and so on. You know, so what is our posture? What kind of resilience you have? What if God did not remove the roadblock? You know, sometimes we pray, you know, Lord, make my path to be straight. The paths of the righteous, you know, are laid out. You know, the Lord make crooked places straight and so forth. Light is sown for the righteous. You know, the Lord will go before you and make the crooked places straight, make the rough paths plain, and all these things that we read. And these are great things. But what if that doesn't happen? What if the paths are not straight? What if they're crooked? You know, I mean, and that's not being negative. This is being real. It does happen. You know, and what happens then? How are you going to deal with it? When we believe God that we're not going to be sick, and we claim those promises, and we know Jesus has healed us, and we shouldn't be sick. But then what happens when you're sick? You know, and so on and on, you can call out anything. There's many roadblocks that we will find in life, you know. Anything and everything that is in trying to impede your progress. When God said, go forward, the devil said, no, you can't. There's a Red Sea in front of you. You know, how in the world are you going to get through the Red Sea? You know, and the devil got you trapped. Red Sea in front of you, Pharaoh charging or trying to charge down behind you, except for the pillar of fire that's holding him at bay. Pharaoh thinking in his head, I've got you right where I want you. Well, the devil thinks that many times. But I guarantee you, if you have the right kind of posture and look for the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord always has one more ace up his sleeve. He's always got one more move that he can pull out of there. You know, when the devil thought he's got you. But you must have the posture that, look, I'm not going to let some roadblock hold me back. I'm going to jump over it, knock it down, bulldoze it, whatever. Look, the psalmist said, look, you know, all these people come around me like bees and so forth. You know, it doesn't matter to me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. You know, this was his posture. It didn't matter to him at all whether it was one person or many people that come up against him. You know, let me read it to you in Psalm 118, you know, and verse 10. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about. Yeah, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You know, they compass me about like bees, but they are quenched as the fire of thorns. I mean, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. He said, look, the enemy has thrust at me sore that I might fall, but the Lord help me. I mean, this man has a posture that, look, the devil will try to push you down, knock you down, stamp you down and everything. When you're down, try to finish you off. But no, you're not going to let the devil get the upper hand. Remember, Jesus said already that we have power over all the power of the enemy, but it doesn't seem like that at many times. It seems as if the devil's got an advantage. But what do we do in those times? Well, we come to the Lord and enforce and claim the word of the Lord. If the Lord says you've already been healed, according to 1 Peter 2 and 24, and then you get sick, then you go back to Psalm 103. It says, you know, the Lord healeth all my diseases. I mean, it's a great promise if we never get sick. But God never said you'll never get sick. He said he has healed you. You know, so, you know, he healed you. I mean, you know, you might still get sick. And what do? You know, and the Lord said you'll be above only and not beneath. You'll be heads and you are not tails. You know, but what if you are not above? What if you find yourself, you know, on the short end of the stick or whatever, however they say, what do you find yourself behind rather than ahead of the pack? What then do you do? Now, this is where spiritual resilience comes in. That this is where, you know, people get often discouraged when they meet with, you know, challenges that they were not expecting. You know, nobody is expecting a roadblock when you're driving down the road. You're not looking for a roadblock. You're just trying to go where you're going. You know, but, you know, oftentimes you come up against those roadblocks. Not because you were looking for a roadblock. Nobody is looking for quote unquote failure. Nobody is looking for quote unquote disappointment. Or some people are negative though in their outlook. And maybe negative things will chase them. You know, but most of the time people are going somewhere and they expect to get there. Nobody's thinking that, oh, you know, I'm going to find a roadblock on the way. So when you do find that roadblock on the way, what you're going to do? Praise the Lord. And oftentimes also, wisdom is necessary. You know, when you are going, I've talked about this before, quite a while back. Let me talk about it again today. When you're going somewhere, you know, and all of a sudden you come up against a fork in the road or some, you know, something that, you know, a branch of the road, and you take the wrong exit, and then you realize that what you know, that you took the wrong exit, what do you do? You know, this is the question I've asked people sometimes. Once you discover that you've missed the way, what do you do? Do you just keep on going and hoping that somehow magically you will arrive at this place that you are supposed to get to? You know, I mean, that would be foolishness, you know, to just keep going and keep doing the wrong thing and just thinking that somehow the thing will just automatically fix itself. You know, that's a lot of people are like that. It's either we are not even mindful, you know, we don't have discernment, or we don't walk in the spirit or have the senses of the spirit sharpened. And, you know, people will keep on doing the same wrong thing and just hoping that sometimes, you know, somehow the thing will just magically, you know, turn around. No, you're going to have to do something about it. If you miss the road, you know, sometimes you may have to go, because if you don't know where you're going, you know, and you're already on the road, on the wrong road, how do you know you're ever going to get there? Sometimes you may have to go back to the place where you missed the turn and then take the turn. This has literally happened to me. You know, so don't just keep going and hoping that, well, somehow you just get there. You may not get there. You may get farther and farther and farther and farther away from the thing because you don't know that this branch that you took going to get you there. You knew the place that you were supposed to turn to, but you took the wrong turn. You realize that you took the wrong turn. Now, what do? Just keep on going on the wrong path. And many people in life are like that. You know, instead of coming to the Lord and asking the Lord to help us fix it, pick up the pieces and do a do-over, we just keep on going. You know, and just think that, you know, thing will just somehow work out. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's better for us to go back. The prodigal son could have just kept going. And say, well, somehow, you know, things will fix itself. And, you know, well, when he hit rock bottom, he figured out that, look, you know, I need to go back where I missed the road and make reconciliation and then, you know, start over. You can't just keep on doing and going in the wrong path and hoping that it will all work out. You know, so many lessons here. But one thing is this, don't stay down for the count. Don't be discouraged at a roadblock. You know, find another way, find a way around it somehow, you know. And there's a good scripture here in Isaiah 62 verse 10 for roadblocks even, you know. Here's the way he puts it. Here's the way Isaiah put it. And I love this Isaiah guy. You know, he said, go through. Don't let anything keep you from going through. Go through the gates. Don't let any barriers and any of these things hold you back. You know, prepare ye the way of the people. And sometimes the leaders have to do that. Cast off the highway. Gather out the stones. Slip off a standard. You know, that's a banner. You know, we're going to go through. And, what's your posture? Are you ready to go through? And do you wait and just just stay in the same position just because there is something that says you can't go through? You know? And what are gates and barriers and these kinds of things? I mean, a gate could be anything. Sometimes gates are good. Sometimes they are evil. Most of the time, they are evil. You know, and most of the time they are roadblocks. But the Lord deals with them. Open ye the gates and let the righteous nation come in. Well, that's one way of the gates. But the gates got to open up. In fact, the holy city, we're told, will have no gates. The gates will not be shut at night because there will be no night there. So there's no need of those things. So the gates can be something that prevent evil from coming in or lock something in or lock something out. You know, but how do you see it? You know, if the gate is in front of you, well, the gates of hell, I can tell you that Jesus spoke about the gates of hell. What did the gates of hell do? Well, a child of God that started their journey with Christ, they are on the paths of righteousness leading to heaven. And the gates of hell will try to close in on them. Make sure they don't get there. But Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, so gates, you know, are things that most of the time keep things out, you know, or keep things in. But the Lord says here, go through the gates. There's a place that we are going through. I mean, we're going to get to somewhere. And we're not going to let any gates or any bars of iron and so forth. These are broken the bars of iron and the gates and cut in pieces the bars of iron. God can do that for us. But we must ourselves must have that posture with us, you know. Now, there are many things also that can be, I mean, roadblocks can also be lack of knowledge. Let me see what people posted as roadblocks in the chat room here. My screen is somehow frozen. I can't go back to the chat room. I hope you guys are still hearing me.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yes, we can hear you, Pastor.
I was trying to get to the chat room. My screen was frozen. I couldn't get there. You know, and I'm there now. I was trying to see what people might have posted. I was saying that sometimes a roadblock could also be because of lack of knowledge. You know, lack of knowledge could be a significant roadblock, and I've seen it. You know, when people just don't, you know, get themselves the knowledge or the information they need, it can actually be a roadblock, you know, that's impeding our progress in life. Here's how Hosea put it in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, look, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, so knowledge is power, as people say, knowledge that you should have. If you don't have it, you know, and there are some people in commerce and different things, and investment and, you know, in commerce and finance in the world, they take advantage of knowledge and use it to gain an advantage over those who have no knowledge. You know, so a roadblock could sometimes be lack of knowledge. And many times it is. You know, we don't know what to do in this situation. You don't know how to look for options. You know, I mean, people are trying to get financing for their house, buy their house or whatever. I believe actually, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to go into debt. But, you know, buying a house is a different kind of debt, you know, because you may get a tax shelter, at least here in the United States, your house may appreciate and so forth. So that's a different kind of thing. So we'll allow that. But, you know, you're trying to get the financing. You don't even know how to go about it. Or the first place that you approach said no. Then what do? You quit. You give up. You know. So lack of knowledge on what are the places, other places that you can try, it may actually constitute a roadblock. You're trying to get admission into college. There are other ways that you can try and the other places that you can apply to. If you don't have the knowledge, maybe a roadblock. So, I mean, it's just lack of knowledge can so impede our progress in life. I can go on and on and on. You know, so we need to educate ourselves on things that we should know, you know, and because if we do not have knowledge, we may miss out on a lot of things. According to, you must say, look, my people are destroyed. I mean, that's a serious language for lack of knowledge. Now, what other things may be roadblocks? There's all kinds of things that may be roadblocks. And the devil is a master also at putting roadblocks. Roadblocks can even come from discouragement through people. That's going to be roadblocks. The devil at one time would speak through Peter to be a roadblock to Jesus to prevent him from going to the cross. And this was this same Peter that just had a tremendous revelation when Jesus took an opinion poll of who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am. And one said after this manner, another said after that manner. And Peter finally said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, you know, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. And so on and so forth. And he gave him, you know, recognition. And the next thing you know, this St. Peter, in a careless moment, allowed the devil to speak through him and said to Jesus, when Jesus told them, look, Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and, you know, this and this is going to happen to him and so on and so forth. You know, and Peter, thinking that he knew better, allowed the devil to get inside of him and try to discourage Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus had to say, look, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou knowest not the things of God, but the things that be of man. You cannot see the way God sees things. You only look through the natural. So a roadblock can also come through people. You know, negativism can come many times. And people say, you can't do that. You can't go there. Who ever heard of such a thing? You know, and look, I love this subject of trailblazers. I've talked about it and I often talk about it. And I've experienced a few trailblazing, moments in my life too. But I'm not talking about, and let me not talk about my life today, but let's talk about some people who people said, you can't do that. I've never heard of such a thing. You know, and, they're not going to let anything stop them. They're going to keep on moving. The Bible is full of so many stories like that. From the beginning, Enoch would not be deterred. You know, said, well, you can't go in there, son. There are cherubims there. What being is cherubims? What are these flaming swords? What are they trying to prevent? Adam would tell the story. He'd say, well, you mean we can't go back in there? No. You know, we lost the opportunity. How? How did that happen? I just told you. You know, you say you had all that power and everything. You could talk to animals. You could do all these things and so forth. And yeah, we're not going to have it anymore. Sorry, son. It's too late. What happens next? Well, we're just waiting to die. Waiting to die? Why are you waiting to die? Well, because God said that, you know, when we do it, we'll die. So what about you are not dead yet? Yeah, but we're waiting to die. I said, well, I'm not waiting to die. We'll see about that. You know, I mean, the man, Enoch, would not take those negative postures. He wouldn't do it. But everybody else took it. All the six generations that were ahead of him, they took it. You know, and, people around you sometimes are so negative and everything. And that's why you got to be careful. And Jesus said, look, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't set holy things, jewels in front of dogs and things like that. You know, some people just don't have the kind of faith to be your companion that you need. You need to cut them loose. Because they're going to drag you back, especially someone who tells you can't do that. You know, if you can't physically cut them loose, emotionally you need to cut them loose. Because there is nothing that you cannot do. You know, and let's be careful as parents to not say that to our children. They can do it. That's what you need to tell your children. You can do it. Raise God. Yeah, I know you can do it. You know, I've got the confidence that you can do it. You can do anything in the world that you put your mind to. You tell them, and they'll do it too. Don't ever tell them that you can't do it. And don't let anybody ever tell you that you can't do it. Now, some people, you know, some people may channel that negative energy to drive them positively. Other people, it may destroy them. You know, so those are lessons that we learn from life. There are some people, if you tell them that you can't do it, they're going to rise up to the challenge and do it just to prove you wrong. Other people, you tell them you can't do it, they will be discouraged and say, well, I can't do it then. So, but what's your personal posture when situations or people tell you can't do it? Are you going to then not do it just because they told you can't do it? What should your response be? Your response should be, says who? If somebody says you can't do it, your response should be, says who? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. And notice the way that Paul brought that out. You know, Philippians 4:13. You know, I love the way he brought it out. He didn't say, that Christ can do all things through me. You know, we already know that Christ can do all things. That's not what he said. What he said here is, I can do all things through Christ. You know, so we need to develop that kind of spiritual resilience. And you can do it. You can be rugged. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. Be rugged. Endure hardness. You know, don't let a little setback keep you down. Get your head up. Get your head out of the sand. You know, lift your head up and let the King of Glory come on in. And never say never. Praise God. I love that. You know, look, eagles are meant to fly. And don't let anything clip your wings. You know, the devil wouldn't want you to fly. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall not only walk, run, but they shall fly. And you got to fly. And there are many things that God has in store for us for this year, including experiencing quantum leaps. You know, but you got to believe it. You got to want it too. But more importantly, you got to believe it. You got to believe that. And just because the Lord said there's going to be quantum leap doesn't mean there's not going to be roadblocks. In fact, that's the reason why there's going to be roadblocks. So you're going to leap over it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so whatever it is, roadblock, I'm not going to see it as a roadblock. I'm going to see it as a hurdle. I'm going to jump over it. And I noticed that myself, personally, as a young man, there are so many things that I experienced that I did not even know. But as I grew up later in life, I started to cast my mind back. I'm talking about even natural things, like when I was an athlete, you know, doing track and field, hurdles. I mean, I'm not very tall, but, you know, I attempted to do the hurdles. And I was good at it, you know. And, and I loved those things, you know, and so forth. Later in life, when I started to understand, I said, wow, you got to, you know, run over these things. And you can't really jump. You just got to stride over it. If you jump, it'll impede your progress. There's a way you got to do it and not break your stride. You know, and all of that. And my goodness, when I look back now, I say, wow, you know, God was even preparing me through many things in life that I didn't understand. But now I do, you know, hurdles is the only way that I see roadblocks now. It's a roadblock. I'm going to stride over it, get over it, leap over it somehow. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to bulldoze it, knock it out of the way or something. Some people actually knock down the hurdles when they're trying to race through them. You know, look, it's like, look, you either get out of my way or I'm going to bulldoze you down. That's it. That's the attitude we want. A winner's attitude that will not, you know, let roadblocks, you know, be a thing to keep you down. You know, be a winner. Have that attitude, you know, that look, I'm going through. Because that's what Isaiah 62 and 10 tells you. Go through. Your commander-in-chief has already spoken that you should go through. That's right. So you need to go through. When you're at the Red Sea, commander-in-chief said, go through. Don't stand there. Go forward. Hallelujah. Don't let any Red Sea or anything else, you know, stop you. And I guarantee you, as long as you stay there, it'll be the Red Sea. But you must determine in your mind that you're going to move forward. You know, then it will open up. You know, it's amazing, you know, how that, you know, the Lord showed us many lessons like that. You know, in the scriptures, it's just amazing. You know, the things that God showed even Joshua, you know, in the days of Joshua and the priests and so forth, carrying the, bearing the ark and so forth, you know, and it was at the moment when their feet, you know, touched the River Jordan, that the thing opened up. Until they got there, it was just Jordan. And Jordan might be overflowing its banks, even at that time, we're told. And if you're looking at it, might not do anything. It's like Ecclesiastes 11, you know, says that, look, If you are looking at the clouds, you're not going to sow anything. And of course, if you're observing the winds and so forth, you're not going to reap either. You know, so let me read that to you in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. He that observeth the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What does that mean? Well, it means, well, today it's windy, so I can't do anything. That's a roadblock right there. It's a mental roadblock. Well, there's a lion in the street. I can't go out today. Well, that's for the slothful. They're going to float, you know, Proverbs say, well, he'll fold his arms, he'll do nothing. He'll say, well, there's a lion in the street, I can't go out. Well, what is going to happen to him? So shall his poverty come like an armed man suddenly upon him. Because he's not going to make any progress. Because he, you know, got all these things blocking his mind. You know, but when you have the mentality of the go-through mentality, you're not going to let any of these things stop you. Praise the Lord. So that's what we are sharing today, that the Lord wants us to go through. And he doesn't want us to allow, you know, any of these roadblocks to keep us down. You know, we need to move forward. I'm going to read this last story to you, and then we'll round it up there and let you share your own thoughts. And I think I'm going to try to look at, I did try to look at the chat room earlier, but my screen was frozen. I asked people to post, you know, what they see, I mean, what they think of roadblocks. I'll try to look at that when people are speaking in a minute. But let me read this story to us in Joshua chapter 3. You know, again, what's my purpose here today? Well, just a little encouragement room. We shouldn't let setbacks and all these things, you know, keep us back. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, there's a story in Joshua chapter 3, you know, that I want to read to you. And there was an instruction that the Lord gave to Joshua, and the Joshua set before the people as well. And he told them, look, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord will pass before you unto Jordan. You know, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man, every tribe a man. I'm reading from Joshua 3:11. And it shall come to pass, this is what the Lord said, Joshua 3 and 13. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of the whole earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, shall come to pass that even then shall the waters of Jordan be cut off from the waters that come down from above. They shall stand up as an heap. Well, nothing going to happen until they step into, you know, the river. As long as they're looking at it, that my goodness, we can't do this. Well, then, yeah, well, you can't do it either. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents and to pass over Jordan, that the priest that bore the ark of the Lord went before the people. And as they that bear the ark of the Lord came unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark, the moment they were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed its banks. At that time, I mean, this Jordan was a swelling, you know, violent thing, just swelling up and so forth, waves and things like that, you know. But the moment their feet stepped into the water, glory to God. Now, they could have stood up and said, well, these waters, my goodness, we can't get through this. But the Lord said, go through. And he gave you instruction. You've got to go forward. Against any barricades, against any roadblocks and so forth. And as soon as their feet touched on the water, it came to pass that the waters from above, you know, were cut off, and they stood up, the river stood up as a heap on either side. And Joshua has seen that before. You know, he saw it at the Red Sea. So he knew what to do. He knew how to believe God. He's seen the Red Sea pile up on one side and the other, and they went through on dry ground. And he's telling them, you know, Lord, do it. You know, you just go forward. And the Lord did it. And they went forward on dry land. Ha, praise God. And they're going against Jericho, and the Lord is moving them forward. So what is your story? How do you react to roadblocks? What is the thing that is going to keep you back? How are you going to plow forward? That's our lesson for today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit interpret this lesson into your hearts. You know, I can only speak for a few minutes, but the Holy Spirit will be there with you for a lifetime. You know, so take these words and examine yourself and your posture of resilience that you are building. Are you building up your most spiritual faith? Are you walking in a posture that will not be denied? You would not allow any setbacks to keep you back? What are you going to do? So those are our lessons for today. I've told this story. I'm reminded of this story I've told before, you know, of the track and field women's Olympic. And Alison Felix was in there that dropped the baton. She was a veteran. She was running with some rookies. But when they dropped the baton, actually somebody bumped against them, it turned out. She would not be denied. And it's like, pick up the baton and finish the race. You know? And they did finish the race, although they came in last because the race was already over. But they did finish. And because they finished, they had a chance to protest. The rules are you got to finish the race before you can even protest. And so the veteran told the rookie, pick up the baton and just pick up the baton and finish the race. I'll tell you later. So they picked up the baton, they finished the race minutes after others had already finished. And like, ah, well, whatever. You know, but then they had an opportunity to, you know, protest. When they protested, the officials reviewed the tape, and they saw that someone had actually bumped into them in a relay race. You got to stay in your track. You can't bump the other person the other team that's trying to change their, pass their baton over. And they reinstated them into the, into the race. And they had to rerun those qualifying round alone, because others had qualified. And they were told that, well, you know, this is the time you got to beat. If you can do better than any of these times, you know, these qualifying times, then we'll put you in there and you knock somebody out. And so they had to run the race on their own by themselves. And this time around, there's no excuse that anybody bumped into you. You are the only one on track. And that's a very difficult thing, to run the race by yourself. I've been there. I'm track field athlete. I know how it is. You know, you run off of people that are behind, you know, next to you, not run by yourself. But they did. And at the end of the day, they got into the finals because their time was better. And they got them in there. And when they finally did, they got the worst lane because all the other lanes were already assigned. The worst lane you can have is the innermost lane, the sharpest turn, you know. And that was the worst lane they had. But at the end of the story, they won that race, finally. And they got that coveted gold medal for the United States. Now, if they had given up just because they dropped the baton, they would not have had such a glorious ending. That's always a story that I like to use. I've used it at the church. I've used it here on this platform. I use it everywhere. Because it's a real life story. You know, and they did. And I think it was the 2012 Olympics or something like that. You know, so pick up the baton and finish the race. You know, if your baton got dropped, what are you going to do? You're going to be discouraged? Well, the one who knew how, she would not be discouraged. The young people were discouraged, but they didn't really know what to do. But thank God that the other one was there. I said, well, no, we got to pick up the baton and finish the race anyhow. which eventually led to a tremendous story. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, pick up the baton and finish the race. Run through troops, leap over walls, you know, jump over the roadblock, hurdle over it or whatever. The door is closed, fine, go through the roof or whatever. But keep on keeping on and keep on going, and the Lord will see you through. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the lesson today. Let the Holy Spirit interpret it into the minds of the listeners, because you are the one, the great teacher, and the great inspirer. And give us the victory as we go forward in our lives. We will not be deterred, and we will not be denied. And no roadblocks can keep us back. We'll find another way somehow as we listen to the inspiration of the Almighty. We'll show you the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and glory. I come against the spirit of discouragement and all captivity of negativity that says you can't do it. That will bring you into captivity really quick. Break those chains, Lord, and let people know that they can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. We're going forward because our commander-in-chief has said we should go through. We will not let roadblocks or any such thing keep us back. We give you, Lord, the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.